When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Pod Populi.
Podcast for the people.
The Great Love Debate. It's the Great Love Debate.
The Great Love Debate. It's the Great Love Debate.
Hi again, everyone. It's Brian Howie. Welcome to The Great Love Debate, the world's number one dating and relationship podcast. Since 2015, I am here once again in the fine studios of Pod Populi, podcast for the people. I'm at the one in Palm Beach Gardens. If you have the means, come to Palm Beach Gardens. It's very, very lovely. This is the sixth different Pod Populi studio I have recorded in the last several weeks. So it means that I travel too much, but it also means they take very good care of me. I've got Andre and Richard on the controls. Say hi, guys.
How you doing? Hello.
Good. First of all, just right off the bat, I got more feedback on the last podcast I did than any podcast I've ever done. And most of it was really good. I always want feedback, and that podcast was a little bit different and it was a little riskier. And I heard from a lot of people on it. I heard from a lot of dudes on it, which I really, really like. So appreciate all of it. Keep it coming. Go back and listen to it if you missed it. As far as this show overall, as I've been doing the Great Love Debate for, I don't know, 9 years, 8 years, lots of terms come up when it comes to life, but when it comes to love, dating, relationship, that didn't probably exist. I mean, when I started, I don't even think something like ghosting was a term. We just didn't call you back and it was fine. You know, babies, bunch of babies. Cuffing, you know, even way people describe the people that they're interested in or dating. Like I heard somebody say that somebody was mid and somebody was extra, and most of the time I kind of have a grasp of what people are talking about. But the other day somebody used a term and they asked me what I thought of an FLR, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. I didn't know if it was some retirement fund that I should look into. I really didn't understand what that was. And I was like, what the fuck is an FLR? So as I am wont to do, I googled it. An FLR is an acronym. Is that an acronym or abbreviation? What? I'm going to go with acronym. For a female-led relationship. So my first thought about this is all relationships are female-led. But what it really means is she... Again, if you're offended by any of this we're going to talk about today, this is not the show for you. This is the Great Love Debate. It means that she wears the pants. She is the dominant person in the partnership. So I was like, oh my God, do I want to do a deep dive on that? We've spent a lot of time talking about what I think is the definition of an alpha man and how the sort of blurring of traditional gender roles has screwed it up. But I need some help today. So I brought in somebody with some opinions and some experience with a lot of this stuff. She is the host of the Skulls and Stilettos podcast. Is that correct? she, people are always like, you have a lot of podcasters on your podcast. And I'm like, yeah, you know why? When you have authors on here, they don't even know what their own book is about. So I'm trying to do less authors, more podcasters. But I brought her in, the lovely Janine Stella. How are you?
I am excellent, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Have you heard of this term, FLR?
Never. It sounds like it sounds like a camera.
It does. I know. Can we somebody take a picture of me with a Canon FLR, please? Yeah, it is. So as I've talked about alpha men, that is not necessarily about masculinity. That isn't about even sexuality. That is mostly about presence and balls. It's not even a heterosexual thing. Some of the most alpha guys I have ever been in a room with, professionally or personally, have been the gayest men you will ever sign. They're getting shit done. They are taking charge. They are dominant or whatever. This movement by a bunch of pussified men, which we do have in this country, to sort of, oh, I'm just going to let her do that, is not only bad for the men, it seems extremely sexist to the women, because I looked up like the logic behind it and they're like, well, women are better with money. Women are better at running a household. And I'm like, that seems extremely sexist, both on its surface and in reality.
Agreed.
Right. The balance of, we can say all we want that we have changed societally in this country and in this world probably, but physiologically, I think we're still wired the same way. You like real cavemen types, don't
I
you?
Do. Total degenerates.
The more degenerate, the better.
I'm actually going to change. No, I'm just kidding. I was going to change the name of my show to like The Degenerates, because literally, I mean, I interview people that half of them just came out of jail.
Yeah. If somebody hit somebody in a pipe with a head, they might not only be in your podcast, they might be in your bed.
And most of the time, they're right, exactly. And I just am attracted to that crazy type of masculinity.
Well, I said that earlier in the podcast. So if you had a spectrum of 1 to 10, and 1 is Beto O'Rourke. 1 is the wokiest woke, has the I'm with her bumper sticker on his car, just... That's 1. And 10 is an absolute knuckle-dragging caveman. Most women still, in 2023, would take about a 7.5 on that spectrum. They want it slightly to the right of that, right?
100%.
You know, there was a reason why for a decade women watched Sex and the City, and they wanted her to end up with Big. They didn't want her to end up with Aiden.
I liked Aiden though too.
But you, Big, they're like, if she can reform her asshole, Big, I can get mine to be the same way.
We love the asshole. I'll say myself included, I love the asshole. I've always chased the asshole.
I think the asshole is about that. The asshole is not necessarily about manners. And there's a level of asshole. Like if he's rude to a waiter, that's an exceptional level of asshole. But somebody who can just be just the right amount of dick to get things done and make things happen and make a move, that has always been attractive to women. That's never going to change. And because there's a smaller pool of those men out there, I think those guys have a bigger advantage than ever. And assholeness is actually being rewarded at a higher rate.
I think have you ever looked at a couple and said, she's gorgeous and so sweet, but he is such a dick?
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure it out and you're trying to examine and just study the dynamic between the two of them, and you just don't get it. And you're like, well, he must have money. He must give her everything. She probably has a G-Wagon in the parking lot. That I don't think that women think that. I think.
Oh, they do think that.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. They do think that there's something about him that we can't see that attracts her. And it's not that he's super sweet to her. It's not. So he can do a lot of the things that she wants, the protect her, make her feel, you know, I talked a couple podcasts about that, make her feel heard, all those kind of things. And still he has this sort of rough around the edges. You know, I mean, I went back, I had a long flight recently and I went back and I watched a whole lot of Sopranos episodes. And Tony, no offense to the late James Gandolfini, was by no means an attractive man, but he got a lot of women on that show. Sorry, Carmella. He got a lot of women on that show. And you could see it. You could see why they were attracted to him. You could see why his ballsy machismo went far. You weren't like, that would never happen in real life. You're actually, that kind of makes sense, right?
I agree with that. And I think being raised by a gay man has really altered my perspective, because my father was a very masculine gay man, mm-hmm. and he's total alpha in the room.
Did you know he was a gay man?
I did.
So from the time you were a baby, you knew your father was gay, or no. just like a coming out at 25?
No. So what had happened was, is that my—
Meanwhile, back at Miranda's.
Meanwhile, my mom and my father were Roman Catholic, and they were raised in the Catholic Church, and they married each other, mm-hmm. but both of them were actually gay, and they miraculously like married each other and then birthed me. And then my mother at 4 said, I'm going to be with a woman. And she was until the day she died. And mm-hmm. then my dad growing up said, I'm gay. So I had a very—
That's fortunate for both of them.
Very cool.
They knew.
And it was this very taboo religious type
Catholic.
Of—
Very Catholic. Yeah. A lot of them right. end up in the priesthood.
100%.
You got to hide it.
100%.
You know, that reason, again, I was raised Catholic. I can say these things. It was a socially acceptable route. Oh, my son's not gay. He's going to be a bishop, you know, to go that route, or do the parenting thing, you know, raise a family, do all that, and then maybe go your separate ways or lead a secret life. I'm not saying that's better, but take some honesty to do that. So props to them. So you're aware at what age?
Let's see. At age— I kind of knew, because my mom's girlfriend was— I mean, we'd go on family vacations together, mm-hmm. and she was the more masculine, if you will, mm-hmm. and the more butch in the relationship. My mom was always referred to in the 90s. They called them lipstick lesbians, mm-hmm. but
still do.
Yeah. Still do. Right. So my mom was gorgeous. Her girlfriend looked like a biker, and that's just the way it was. And we'd go on family vacations, but the point of that whole scenario was that my mother was a total alpha mm-hmm. for going, you know what? I'm a lesbian. I'm going to divorce my husband and be with a woman. And then my dad was like, I don't care if you like me or not. I like men. So I grew up in this very alpha, female, alpha, male environment. So I kind of have always been this kind of alpha female.
So you were, oddly, down the road, attracted to the kind of man that your mom was attracted to in terms of a woman. She wanted the leather.
Yes.
Little rough around the edges. Yes. And you're like, I want what mom wants, except I want a penis.
And I wanted a man like my father who could fix anything. So I've always been attracted to men that could fix everything instead of, you know, just sit on their computer and make money. I like a guy that can go, you know what? I can fix that. I can rebuild that. Because my dad was like that. It's very bizarre. I'm a product of my environment, and it's very cool.
All right. Well, speaking of products of our environment, we have to pay for some things around here. So we have to listen to some sponsorship products around here. We're talking about alphas. We're talking about betas. We're talking about gay parents and a whole bunch of things. I'm here with Janine Stella. We got to take a quick break, but we will be back right after this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
And we are back. So how do we balance this as a woman? Because the men listen to this. Half this audience is men. Half this audience is women. How do the men, if they're not wired that way, how do you become that way? A. And B, how do the men who are like, I'm not suddenly going to change my personality and turn into an asshole when I think that this isn't about being nice. How do you communicate the message of what the women really want you to do in terms of taking charge, being in command, protection, all these kind of things, when he's like, shouldn't nice be pay off the most? I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yes. I can't speak for all women, but for me, that doesn't make me feel safe. A nice man doesn't make me feel safe.
Because you don't trust it?
I don't trust that if I were in a situation, he would go to bat for me. Or if someone were to grab my purse walking down the street.
Nice isn't getting the purse
back. It's not, exactly. It's just a, I like a thuggish Goomba.
How big is our percentage of thuggish Goombas? We're probably pretty high percent. Hello, all you thuggish Goombas out here. Because you think at the end of the day, there's a good chance he's going to get your purse back.
Exactly.
Oh, I get that. That kind of makes sense.
It's attractive to me. It's like, it's very primitive, right? Mm-hmm. It's caveman and female nurturer.
I get it. It's harder and harder, though, for the men, not to defend the men, but sort of to explain them. In 2022, 23, as whenever you're listening to this episode is, that she used to be told by her dad, wait for Prince Charming to come along, that's what you want. And now the girls at a young age are told, can't count on a man, you got to take care of yourself, you got to learn how to change a tire, you got to do all this kind of stuff. So the opportunities for him to show that he is capable and wants to do this are getting fewer and fewer far between because her whole wiring now is I am independent. I do not need you. There's no role for you here. I got this. And so the already passive men are taking another step in the wrong direction, leaving a pool of props to the thuggish Goombas. They're going to get all the ladies.
I agree with you. I think in self-discovery and in understanding and really coming to terms with who I am as an adult, and I've had issues just like everybody, but I believe that we should let men be men and let women be women. Now, traditionally, men were the hunters and gatherers. And you know what? That still, to me, on instinct, mm-hmm. is attractive. Mm-hmm. I want a man to be a man. I want him to feel masculine. I want him to feel like he's got the control in the room. Not control over me, but control of a situation.
Right.
That is an attractive quality.
Right.
To me. Women, then again, I'm an alpha female. It doesn't mean that I'm the loudest in the room. It doesn't mean that I think I command all the attention. What that means is I want to be a strong woman for my man as well. I want to make him feel
well,
good.
Well, I think that's the formula for the woman. You have control over him and he has control over everything else.
Correct. 100%.
I think that's yes. the formula. I've got him, wind him up, send him out, do my bidding or whatever I need. He likes that. She likes that. No, not too many men are going to be like, they like the woman who, when she's in control of you, that means she cares about you. That means you matter to her. That means that you're her weapon against the world. All of that is really, really important. And like I said earlier, this blurring of all these traditional gender roles, which we are still wired to be, has confused us behaviorally, not just on dates, but in relationships. I can't believe we are 9 years into this great love debate and still people will either bring up or write in like, who should pay? He should fucking pay. Okay? He should pay. He wants to pay. She wants him to pay. Just say fucking thank you.
Okay? I agree with that 100%. And while you're talking about that, it just raised the question, if you're dating someone who's non-binary, what do you do when it comes to the check? Like, you're there and maybe Steve identifies as Karen that day and you're going to a restaurant. Who, like, leads who the
on,
fuck pays?
Who leads on the dance floor?
Correct.
You know, and some people are like, whoever, sometimes the women ask the men out and she should pay. No, he still pays. He still pays. He wants to pay. And as I've said ad infinitum on this podcast, when you offer to pay, ladies, that tells him one of three things. None of them are good. It either says, this is not a date, or it says, I don't want to owe you anything, or it says, we're probably not doing this again. So if you don't want to do it again and you don't want to offer your $45, but in the meantime, let him pay. He's not fooled by your fake reach. Let him have that moment. I said this at a show once in New York, and I got booed because every time I do a live show in New York, there's always a little extra feminist flag waving. But I said, you can do all you want in the boardroom and after 6 p.m., turn back into a girl.
Exactly.
And publicly, the women were like, oh, fuck you or whatever. After the show, so many women like came up to me and like, yeah, I like that you said that. I can't say that. My friends will kill me if I say that. I want that. I've had some really powerful lawyer women and hedge fund women are like, if I could just be a stay-at-home mom, I would rather do that. And the pressure I get from my sister circle, I don't want to deal with it. So I bust my ass 80 hours a week at my job, even though my husband makes plenty of money and I could do that, not from any pressure from him, but because I'm letting down my girl gang.
It's so true. Think of how confusing everything that we're talking about would be in reference to animals. Let's say you have a lion and a lioness, right? And the lioness just birthed, what, cubs? What are they, baby lions?
Is that right?
Is that a cub? I don't know.
Is it a herd? Is it a tribe?
Something
it's
like
a pride.
That. Right.
It's a pride it's of a lions. Pride.
There you go. There you go. So you have this pride of lions here. And then the non-binary male who helped birth all of these, decided that he wanted to nurture and suckle the pride tribe while the female lioness went out and hunted. How freaking confusing is that? I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Yeah, it is confusing. And this is all sort of changed at a really increased rate in the last couple of years, but basically over the last 20, 30 years, this things have really changed, and it coincides, which is a good thing, with the rise of the independent woman, which is a good thing in all other aspects of life other than love, dating, and relationships, which is what I'm trying to, you know, get in here, that at the end of the day, alpha-ness will win. That is the way we're wired. That is the law of the animal kingdom. I don't know what to tell you that. And so the men now are so afraid to say, I can't believe how many times I have to apologize for saying things like hot chicks on this show. And I'm like, most of the chicks like it, whether they're hot or not. Okay. And the fact that I have to catch myself because of a tiny fraction of the people who might be offended, who probably don't like this show anyway, and are not, it's like, I've even been influenced by it. I have to think about it when we do our live shows all over the world. I have to think about, what kind of city am I in? Will this joke play?
Right. But why is that offensive? Women say men are hot all the time, but if a man says a woman's hot, he's sexist or he's,
oh my God, there was, I know,
misogynist. I mean, I don't understand.
I get it. The most sexist people when it comes to women are other women. And whether it's you should be this way or you should think this way or you should act this way, you should do whatever you want. And the fact that so many women and men have to repress how they think, feel, and behave because they're worried about what somebody else might think, that's not good progress for all of us.
I agree. I like coming home knowing that my Goomba partner will fix a light bulb and, you know, put a nail in and fix the tile if it needs to be fixed. I stay in my lane.
Yeah.
I cook. He actually cleans better than I do, believe it or not. He does all the laundry. Thank God. It's my one thing I loathe. But I still have that feminine touch. I still want to take care of him.
Yeah. I can't fix shit. I can't cook shit. I can't clean shit, but I'll get it done. I'll solve the problem.
That's right.
I'll hire the guy.
That's right.
I'll find it. I will take the burden of responsibility as much as possible away from her.
And that's perfect as well. That's perfect. It's owning and taking responsibility.
And it doesn't mean that there's not an element of all men that don't like to be mothered and don't like to be, like, we do like that. That is different. That is a break from his routine. This FLR, was that what it was? the Nikon FLR. The, like, I'm going to make that my default where I'm always going to be like that. There's no way that is good for him. And what that is emotionally controlling for her, where if she's like, I'm in physical and emotional control of this scenario all of the time, then I'm not going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt because it's not going to work out. It's not even a movement. Five people do it. And then suddenly it's in the Wall Street Journal, an article like, the new trend is women proposing to men. No, it's not. It's not a trend. It's extremely rare. It's extremely weird. And it doesn't work out.
I 1000% agree. I don't know one person that has proposed to a man and the situation has worked out. Do you?
No, it's not a real thing. I don't even know how often it happens, but when it happens, it means he didn't want to propose to you.
Exactly.
That's exactly
what
that means.
And all your friends were getting married and you wanted to be,
right.
You know,
and so
up
you
with
thought
the Joneses.
It was cool. And yeah. You're like, oh, and he's going to take my last name. you're not doing anything that behooves the relationship.
Agreed.
You're just like, this is not fine. And I'm not saying that societal norms can't change, and I'm not saying we can't progress or whatever, but if you are fast forwarding to a place where the rest of the world is not going or ready to go, or physiologically we are not wired, which is going to take maybe thousands of years to change, you know, we're only what? I don't know. Somebody Google this. How far are we into, as primates, like walking erect? Like, it took a long time. It took a long time to stand up straight, you know? So yeah. I don't think we're suddenly going to change it in 15 years because somebody ran a story on CNN about how this is what you should do. But because that's the noise, and we've turned the volume up on that, and we are, you know, there's no more men in ladies' room. You know, I saw a list of words now that Stanford University has banned.
I saw that on the news.
American is offensive.
And brave is offensive.
Brave is offensive.
Like, why is brave offensive? I don't understand.
There were like 10 words that I'm like, American is offensive. And I'm like, I think you're making it up. I don't think anybody's actually offended by it. I think somebody like put it in as like a joke.
That's like Latinx. No one says I'm Latinx.
Yeah, nobody says that. Nobody who's Latina says that.
But it was a thing. The media.
I wish
is like
I had that
steering list
on me. Great Love listeners. You Google that list of whatever, and you're going to be like, wait, what? Why? And it's like, what are we doing here? If you're looking for reasons to be offended, you've got bigger problems than the things people say. And people are dating on this. People are putting things on their profiles. Like, I won't date you because you don't have a Ukrainian flag in your picture. Like, leave that out of it. Like one of your pictures shows that you're wearing a mask. Like, you're leading with stuff that I think is probably bullshit.
On a side note on about the whole Ukrainian.
Yeah.
When Putin first started all of the war and all of the chaos in Ukraine, I remember that's when gas prices coincidentally like shot up through the roof. I think we were what, at like $5 a gallon in Florida, probably like $7 a gallon in California at that point. So coincidentally that was happening at the same time. So I got in an all out war with someone on Facebook about, I posted something like, I cannot believe gas prices are what they are. And she's like, how dare you? There are women and children living in the streets in the Ukraine. It's like, well, are you talking about that now on Facebook? Like,
yeah. What does that have to do with?
What does that have to do with the, you know?
That being said, the Zelensky,
yes.
That his name, he wears the fatigues. He seems kind of badass.
He looks kind of cool. He's kind of hot a little bit.
Right.
Because he's so an alpha.
I see why the women liked him. I see why back in the day, no matter what a secret scumbag he was, there are women who still wanted Andrew Cuomo.
Ugh.
I'm old. I remember Mario Cuomo.
But he was kind of.
And he was just like, fuck that. And he seemed like he was talking about a bunch of bullshit, but he seemed like he was in command of the situation.
But the sexy scumbag, people want to have sex with, but they don't think they want to marry.
I agree, but it's about attracted to them. It's who they want to spend time with. As you know, and you just said, people marry people that are not the right person, fit, chemistry, always.
Always.
It's a different matter. It's about, you know, getting to that place is what is attractive. And it's sort of a guy who's like, I got this. And sometimes that might be, I'm going to solve the math on this. And sometimes that might be, I'm going to hit somebody in the head. And a lot of scenarios in between. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do as a woman. There's a big part of you that's like, that relaxes me. I feel good. I feel safe. And I can deal with that. You know, I'm not out there, you know, I was never like out there getting in any fights. You know, people were like, did you like it when somebody, you know, hit on or complimented your girlfriend or whatever? I'm like, yeah, I did, because she's leaving with me. And that's the way I looked at it. That's confident. That's not like, who said that? I'm going to go hit him. No, that guy's weak. Who does that?
That's a weak man.
Right.
Correct.
And she senses that. I'm like, good. Means that I'm with somebody that somebody else finds desirable.
Yes.
Good. Good for you, Brian Howie. Like, that's all good. This idea now that, like, all of it is bad and all of it is confusing and all of it is not relevant is baffling to me, because it is, you know, this show is getting more popular, not less popular, because we're willing to have these honest conversations about this. And a lot of people aren't willing to have them. Like, if anything, there's been some, and again, Me Too, needed to have its moment. It did have its say or whatever, but it did go too far. And it did go to a place where people were losing their livelihoods just because they told women her hair looked nice in their workplace. Can't have it. And that is coming back around, that the women, a lot of the women were like, wait, we're not on the same page with this. We want that. We want somebody to ask us out. We want somebody to compliment us. We want to be whistled at in the street, you know? And so the women were not on the same page, and the men were like, I'm just going to go play video games and sit this out. None of that was good.
I think persistence is one of the most attractive qualities that a man can have. And that's how my partner found me. He called when I was working in a different profession. He called every location in South Florida. There were 17 of them to try and find me the day after he met me.
Right. Well, so, and that's a confusing thing too, because the men watch the rom-coms and she always hates him for the first act. And then suddenly something happened. She came around. Well, he's caught between, I said, no, you asked me out, like, I already told you, and he keeps calling, and the stories of like, I loved that. And so he's just like, what would you like me to do? And I'm always like, ask her out twice. Cause the first time she might've just been in a hurry or a mood, which can happen. And just wasn't feeling it at that time that she didn't want to be asked out. Ask out again, and it's fine. A lot of women are like, that means you're not respecting what I said in the moment. It's not a mood. Well, the idea of a woman having moods is offensive.
Exactly. I agree. It's like, take your mood somewhere else.
I know. I'm like, you have moods. Sorry.
We do.
Yeah.
I'm the queen of moods. And I'm honest about it. If I'm in a mood, I'm like, listen, I'm in a mood.
Doesn't mean there should be a little button. There should be a little pin that you wear when you are in a mood. Yeah, doesn't mean they're crazy. Means they're complicated. And so it's going to take you a while to figure out something that's complicated. Doesn't mean you shouldn't step up. And the guys who are stepping up are not necessarily the best guys. So if you think you're a good guy and you're going to get just wave your I'm a nice guy flag, you're going to have to step up. And you're going to have to figure out where your balls back. And like, oh, I'm just going to settle for one of these FLR situations. It's not going to work out for her and it's not going to work out for you.
Because
eventually she's
going to
resent female. Which I thought female was an offensive term. I thought it all had to be woman. But now I guess woman's an offensive term.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like the genderless bathroom because the lines are less, or you don't?
I've never
like
been in one.
Oh, they don't have them in Florida. California, they can't have men and women's rooms anymore.
I'm sorry, what?
There are no male or late. There's no such thing as men and women. So they're all whatever. They're free.
Like a unisex bathroom for everybody?
There was a guy in prison in Georgia who was in prison for sexual assault on a young girl. And he announced that he identifies as a woman, so send me to the women prison where the women are. Seems like a loophole in the system that he's exploiting. And he has his rights and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, you've never run. So they don't have that in Florida at all.
I've only been to.
Yeah, you go to California now. There's
a nightclub.
There's
no men's room. That. And people are just going in and out and washing their hands. And
they have the common washing of the
correct.
Hands. Yeah. No, I don't, you know, most people don't like it. The handful of people who do like it, half of them like it for weird reasons. And then you're getting to a real small fraction that we're really kind of making a lot of people uncomfortable for a few. Again, not everybody has to be comfortable with every single thing in this world. You know, not every single thing.
I wish
everything was a buffet. And not everything is. Sometimes I have to wait for my plate to come.
That is so true. And it takes me back to one place in Florida that I know of. I went to use the restroom at a bar/club, very ritzy place in Delray. And they have this unisex and then this common area where you wash your hands. And it's very bizarre.
They think it's somehow like fun and flirty. It's not. It's weird.
People go to the bathroom to relieve themselves in every capacity. So if you're a girl and you're trying to get a guy or.
And she really wants to fix her makeup in that moment without guys watching her.
Or she wants to pass gas because she's been holding it in all night on her date. Separate it.
She doesn't necessarily want him to peek behind the curtain.
No,
any of this.
No, it's not a place to do that.
So you are a bit of a dichotomy yourself, though, because your brand and your podcast is Skulls and Stilettos. So is that your yin and yang?
It is. It's a metaphor, really, for head to toe, male or female. We all have heads and we all have feet. So it could be, it's getting to know
someone. Sorry if that's offensive to the footless.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sorry if I offend anybody. But Skulls and Stilettos really was born out of the fact that I really like to interview and talk to people from all walks of life with not judging them for who they are. And so for me, I do interview a lot of fighters. And I think it's important to note too that just because someone is an alpha male that has street smarts, it doesn't mean that they fight people for a living. Like, that's not who I'm with. Like, he might be a Goomba and he might be, you know.
But he's not an MMA guy.
No, he's not going to fight someone in the street, but he's going to raise his voice to let you know that he's there in the room right. if something happens.
Right.
So I'm not necessarily attracted to men that beat other people up. That is completely anti, but I'm fascinated by their story. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by the fact that some people have come from nothing. They come from different countries in the world. They come to America for the American dream. They're fighting the earnings that they're winning is going back to their home. They're trying to help their family. And that to me is a story. And I think it's really interesting that a lot of them fought on the streets in whatever country they were from. And that's the only way they could survive. And then they thought, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm so good at this. Why don't I just get paid to do it for a living?
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
You know, every generation is a little less scrappy than the generation before. And
agreed.
That does trickle into the culture and the dating pool and into the relationships. You know, the greatest generation, those guys are all almost gone, you know, and then you had another generation, another, and now it's not necessarily going the right way. And again, it's not like I was on the battlefield myself. It's not like I did time in Iraq or anything like that. You know, but I was in the bars and it was rough out there. And you had to be scrappy and you had to be wily and you had to be a little bit of a dick.
Have you ever been in like a physical fight?
No.
Never?
Why would I? What am I fighting? You mean, has anybody ever like taken a swing at me?
Yeah, like a man just acting like an idiot.
Yeah, oh, I've been enough of an asshole that somebody has taken a swing at me. I've dodged. Nobody's ever punched me. I was in the middle of somebody else's fight and got hit with a chair and got my head cracked open. That's a whole other thing. But I, you know, if you say everything with just the slightest amount of impish wink, you can get out of a lot of situations.
And you have the smarts to get out of that.
Yeah, I'm like, what are we doing here?
Right.
All right, this is your first time on the podcast. As you know, we play something called Worst Date or First Date. So you either have to give us the absolute worst date you've ever gone on or the greatest first date you've ever gone on, your choice.
Worst date.
Okay.
Okay. Worst date was early 2000s. I went on Plenty of Fish, like everyone did in my generation, and I got in touch with this gentleman who, well, he wasn't really a gentleman. I found that out later, but we were talking. He lived in the city that I lived in. I was really excited about kind of connecting and going for coffee. It was a late night. We're like, you know what? Let's just meet for coffee. It's late. Let's just do it. So we met. We're at a Dunkin' Donuts, hanging out, getting to know each other. He kind of looked like Vanilla Ice, so he was kind of hot, you know? So we're talking, I don't know, Vanilla Ice is kind of, it's the bad boy thing. I don't know, it's what
is
I'm-
Is he a bad boy? He like grew up like a rich kid. He's fake bad boy.
He is, but that's kind of hot too.
Okay, fake it to
make
it.
I don't know. So we're sitting there, we're having coffee, and I said, did you want to go for a drink? And he said, no, I don't drink. And I said, okay, that's fine, but I want to know the story behind why you don't drink. And he's like, well, I've gotten into some trouble. I'm completely sober. I don't drink. I'm like, I respect that. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything against that. So he goes, and I got into a lot of trouble and I was incarcerated. And this was, mind you, a first date.
Okay.
And I said, okay, you know,
happens.
It happens. What did you do?
Right.
Cause I want to know who I'm sitting with and we might as well get it out there on the first date. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, and this is so bizarre and very complicated. And I'll tell you why. He said, I walked in finding my mother's boyfriend trying to strangle her and I stabbed him with an ice pick and I mm-hmm. killed him.
And you're like, let's go to a hotel.
Well, it kind of, now hindsight's 2020, but at first I'm like, oh my God, this guy just murdered someone because he blacked out and he was drinking and he stabbed an abuser with an ice pick. And then I thought, well, I would have probably done the same thing in the situation.
I don't think it's because he was drunk. I think it's because he was abusing his mother.
I think it was a little bit of both, but I would have been that. But like, who wouldn't have done that?
Yeah,
like,
I know. So you judged him wrongly?
I did, but then he got a little physical, a little too early, and that was just a turn off. And then
so
that,
you think he might have stabbed others?
Maybe. It kind of got me thinking, like, you know, what's the full Monty type thing? Like, what's and then it got kind of weird, and then he was showing up.
Too quick with the ice pick.
Yeah, he a little too quick with that. Then he started showing up at my work when I stopped answering his calls and like leaving stuff on my car, and I'm like,
slippery slope.
It's done. Like it's squashed. But that was probably the weirdest, craziest, worst date ever.
And there's a lot of women listening to this, but like, do you have his number?
Exactly.
I want that guy. All right, tell everybody about your podcast.
So Skulls and Stilettos, I'm rebranding. Right now we're under the Fight
Stilettos
Mixer.
And Skulls.
I know, right? I'm back in 2023, I'm really doing it the old school way with full audio. And so with Fight Mixer TV, though, their platform's generally on Roku or Apple TV. They do a live stream.
You talk to a lot of fighters. A lot of meatheads.
A lot of meatheads. It's very bizarre, and I just... Sometimes they're not the brightest bunch of people.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I think it's interesting to call them out on that as well.
They're bright in their own way.
Yeah, they're bright in their own way. Yeah. But I've interviewed a lot of really cool guys and a lot of very up-and-coming women who that was totally taboo for a woman to step into a ring and do a bare-knuckle fight. And now it's like I appreciate the alphaness of the female to be able to go in there and do that. I don't know what it is about it. It's just like, hey, you're putting it out there. You're performing in front of a crowd.
Some guys find that hot.
I mean, I get enough fillers and Botox.
There's a
I
lot of
do
gay overtones to both professional wrestling and MMA.
There are. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I would
Which
mod wrestle
fine,
with
to
a hot.
Each their own.
I know. I'm just saying.
All right. Was this fun?
This was awesome.
All right. As far as us, as always, like, share, follow, please review. Not just this podcast, but all podcasts. Your reviews mean a lot in the podcasting ecosystem. Shoot us an email, greatlovedebate@gmail.com, with all your questions, thoughts, or complaints about some of the offensive terminology, and I will shoot them down. Go to greatlovedebate.com. We will have some live shows, our 10th season of our world tour in 2023. I'm not sure how many, I'm not sure where, but I can be bought. So if the right venue offers me enough money, I'm in. Because as always, at The Great Love Debate, we never stop making love. See you next time.
The Great Love Debate. It's The Great Love Debate.
The Great Love Debate. It's The Great Love Debate.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.